Are we reading John 18:33-38? So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him."
ヨハネの福音書18章33節から38節までお読みします。そこでピラトはもう一度官邸に入ってイエスを呼んでいった。あなたはユダヤ人の王ですか？イエスは答えられた。あなたは自分でそのことを言っているのですか？それとも他の人があなたに私のことを話したのですか？ピラトは答えた。私はユダヤ人ではないでしょう。あなたの同国人と祭司長たちがあなたを私に引き渡したのです。あなたは何をしたのですか？イエスは答えられた。私の国はこの世のものではありません。もしこの世のものであったなら、私のしもべたちが私をユダヤ人に渡さないように戦ったことでしょう。しかし、事実私の国はこの世のものではありません。そこでピラトはイエスに言った。それではあなたは王なのですか？イエスは答えられた。私が王であることはあなたが言う通りです。私は真理の証をするために生まれ、このことのために世に来たのです。真理に属する者は皆私の声に聞き従います。ピラトはイエスに言った。真理とは何ですか？彼はこう言ってからまたユダヤ人たちのところに出て行って彼らに言った。私はあの人には罪を認めません。
Happy Mother's Day!Unfortunately, I don't have a Mother's Day message for you today. I will say this, my mom was a good mom. She probably loved me to a fault. I was the youngest of three, and I knew I was her favorite. So for some reason, you know, Jesus talked about his purpose in life. My purpose in life when I was young was to irritate my brothers as much as possible. You know, I'd do something to irritate them. You know, back then, you know, they had landlines, and so my brother would be talking to a girl and I'd be on the other side just trying to listen in and stuff like that. I'd do stupid stuff like that. And I'd irritate them, and when they tried to get back at me, if I couldn't make it to the bathroom and lock the door, or if I couldn't outrun them like running around the table, I'd start crying. And my mom would come in and she'd rescue me. I had crying down to an art. I mean, on point, on time, every time. So good, my mom is like, "You should become an actor, you know, you could cry on cue." Yeah.I don't know why, I'd get away with it every time though, or seemingly every time I'd get away with it. My mom, she wouldn't question anything, she'd just take my word for it. I think she probably just didn't have the emotional energy to deal with us, you know? Fortunately, Jesus got a hold of my life, and I didn't go down the road of crime, a life of crime, and so I'm here today. No, just kidding. My mom was a great mom. I wouldn't have gone down the life of crime even if I didn't meet Jesus. She instilled values. Praise God. Amen. But speaking of getting away with things, we get to the part of the gospel in John where Jesus' adversaries, I was going to say the Pharisees, but it wasn't just the Pharisees, his adversaries are going to literally get away with murder. It's amazing that it would come to this, that they would go to Pilate to get Jesus killed. We are in the tail end of Jesus' trial. A lot has happened in between Jesus' prayer, his arrest, and now at the tail end of the trial. The Jews, I do air quotes, the Jews, in order to kill Jesus and at the same time remain lawful, and when it says lawful here, it's a note that it isn't to remain lawful under God's law, rather to remain lawful under the Roman law. The Jewish law commanded capital punishment for anyone claiming to be the Messiah, or anyone who was a prophet and led the people astray to follow other gods. The Jewish law required that you stone such a person. So lawfully, they were to stone them. However, because they were under the Roman Empire, it was illegal for the Jewish people to practice capital punishment. It was illegal for them to stone anyone. So when it says lawful, when we look at the Gospel of John, and this is in verse 31, if you look earlier, they bring Jesus to Pilate in order to remain quote-unquote lawful. Either they wanted to remain legally, to remain lawful under the Roman law, or even in their mock trial of Jesus, they could not legally, by their own law, stone Jesus. And that was a whole debacle. If you wanted to look into some of the trials and the mistrial of Jesus, you'd have to look at other gospel accounts. John simply says they took him to the high priest. Bible nerds in here? Any Bible nerds? Yes. Okay, you guys. So apparently back in when Jesus was around, there were two high priests. And so if you look at John's account, they'll talk about two high priests. I could talk about that later. I don't have much to say about it. It's just they had to. Anyways, moving on. Pilate, seemingly confused by the entire situation, asked Jesus a question to try to find out, why are the Jews trying to kill you? And to Pilate's credit, he's doing the right thing. If you ever want to come to a just conclusion, all you have to do is ask some questions. You've ever, parents, moms, have you ever been in that situation? Your kids come and say, she did it, he did it, kind of thing? Anna, and okay. It happens all the time, not just in, family dynamics. It gets worse, happens in any situation you could think of. He said, she said. To come to a just conclusion, Pilate here is doing the right thing, asking the right questions. Just to give you a little background on who Pilate is the governor of the Judean region. It's called Roman Prefect, and had the power of supreme judge in that region. And so they bring him to Pilate hoping to accuse Jesus and have him guilty of treason. And so that's why this is all happening. Let me just continue. Pilate asked the question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own accord, or did others say it about me?" Here Jesus is showing Pilate, telling Pilate, I think in a very subtle way, you already have a distorted understanding of the situation because of the influence of my adversaries. These questions aren't questions that are coming from you, they're questions coming from a different source. I believe in our own lives, it is important to realize who or what is influencing our thinking. What has influenced our core values, our worldviews? When we come to Jesus, how do we come to him? Has it already been influenced? And the answer is yes, it's already been influenced. We do not come to Jesus in a vacuum. We are constantly bombarded with information these days. And these informations aren't innocent. Some may be malicious. But I believe most of the information, especially if you spend a lot of time watching television, they have an agenda. There is an agenda when you watch these shows, even comedy sitcoms, I believe have an agenda. They don't pump millions and billions of dollars in the entertainment business just to entertain you or just to make a profit. They're in it for influence. You know, there are certain groups that have invested in Hollywood, not for money, but for influence, because they know how influential Hollywood is. Jesus himself warned his disciples, "Be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because just a little bit of it will eventually influence the entire dough." Meaning, the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, if you let it in, just a little bit will influence you entirely. Moving on into John. Okay. You know what? Let's pray. I'm going to pray first. I feel we need some prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you again for the mothers. We honor the mothers. They should be honored every day, Lord. But today, especially all the mothers here, I pray, Lord, you would give them a special blessing. Father, as we talk about just the evils of this world, the evil force that crucified Jesus, as we look into these things, I pray your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and revelation, even in our own lives, in our own situations. How to have wisdom from above. How to hear your voice clearly. How to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everyone doing? You guys doing okay? It's good to see all of you here today. Thank you for coming. In verse 36, it says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Amen. Aren't you glad? I am glad. There is another kingdom that is coming. Jesus doesn't deny he's a king when Pilate asked him. Instead, he says, but my kingdom is not of this world. I want to just focus on that for a minute. Geographically speaking, his kingdom is not America. Surprise. No. Or is it anywhere on the planet Earth? It is in heaven, geographically speaking. Pragmatically, spiritually, his kingdom, when he says it's not of this world, his kingdom doesn't operate like the kingdoms of this world. His kingdom isn't based on which army is stronger. His kingdom isn't based on who has the most sophisticated, powerful, new weapons. It's not based on who is strategically smarter. It is not based on might or by power, but by his will. Jesus, if he wanted to get out of that situation, he says his servants would be fighting. He is making allusions to angels. Angels would fight on my behalf if my kingdom were on this world. And if you read the Old Testament, angels historically has been a lot more powerful than the most powerful armies in this world. But it is based not on power, but on God's will. It's not that he couldn't be rescued. That could have easily been accomplished. It's that the kingdom of heaven operates under the will of God, not under compulsion, not under reaction, not under power. The kingdom of heaven operates under the will of God. And everyone subject to that kingdom operates the same way, under the will of God. As we continue to live in this world, it is important to live according to the principles and values of the kingdom of heaven. Instead of living this life through striving, manipulation, power plays, etc., we are to be in this world, but not of this world. If you notice, in the Old Testament, whenever Israel, the people of God, the chosen people of God, wanted to be like the surrounding nations, that's when they got in trouble. And dare I say, when the church, a unique organization, tries to be like the surrounding organization, that is when the church gets into trouble. We sang a song, Inside Out, Inside Out. That is the nature of the kingdom of heaven. It is an inside out movement. Silly example. I don't maliciously irritate my brothers anymore. I use the term malicious because I do. I guess I do like to irritate them sometimes. It's more playful. It's more playful these days. Back when I was younger, it was more malicious. And it's not like I changed because I felt like, oh, I need to change. It wasn't an outside pressure. But inwardly, I don't take pleasure in them suffering anymore like I used to. It is an inside-out transformation. It is something that I don't do because I don't want to do it. And if you ever look at the gospel and you look at the term grace, for by grace we have been saved. It is a grace that works in us that changes our outward behavior. Now, I could point out outward behaviors that may be not according to the kingdom of heaven, but me pointing it out may change behaviors, but it will never change the person. The kingdom of God operates under grace. This kingdom operates under a different set of rules than every other kingdom we see. Let me move on to verse 37. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Very ironic. Jesus, in the midst of all of these false accusations, misinformation, half-truth, Jesus points out that he came into the world to bear witness to truth. Jesus, remember earlier, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. Jesus also makes his purpose clear. Not to come and to be a part of the world system. He came to take over as king and to bear witness to truth. He's not here to restore a nation of Israel that was chosen by God to represent him. He's not here to simply restore Israel. Rather, he came to reclaim ownership of the earth through his death and resurrection. And again, he does not play by the rules of this world. So when he comes to take over not by force, but by sacrificial love. Instead of heads rolling, he gets on the cross himself. All those who are of Jesus will do the same. They will know how to walk in sacrificial love because they will hear his voice and follow him. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Let me ask you, do you hear his voice today? If you are claiming to walk with God, do you hear his voice? That is a huge theme in the book of John, hearing his voice. If you're hearing, "Man, I hope this pastor hurries up, I'm hungry," that might not be God's way. John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice." Let's go all the way back to John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word." Let's go a little further. John 5:24. "Whoever hears my voice and my word and believes will be saved. He will have eternal life." John 8:31. "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will know me." You will know the Father. John 14:23. "Keeping God's word. Whoever is my disciple will keep my word." 14:26. "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you all things." It could go on and on. Those who are of the truth, listen to Jesus' voice. That will be more and more important in our lives. You know, some of us might be like Pilate today and ask what Pilate asked. Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Pilate pondered the idea of truth. I believe this is more hypothetical, philosophical, but have you ever searched for truth? Any truthers in here? There's a lot of information at the tip of our fingertips. Have you ever searched for truth? You know, I believe if Pilate was sincere in his pursuit of truth, he would have released Jesus. It's very clear in other gospel accounts, he didn't want to crucify Jesus. In fact, even here he says, "I find no guilt in him." Now, Pilate was not necessarily known for being a just person. Actually, he was known for being cruel and unfair. But he knew that Jesus was not guilty, and that it was out of his adversary's jealousy. Also, if you look at other gospel accounts, his wife had a terrible dream and told Pilate, "Have nothing to do with Jesus." He tries to wash his hands of the situation. However, because of the pressures, outside pressures, Pilate reluctantly sentences Jesus to death. I just want to say one last thing about Pilate. There's actually some confusion what happens to him. Some say he committed suicide, some say he was murdered. But there's one strand of belief that feels he actually became Christian. And that's why we see his name here today. And in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, does anyone know what that is? I don't, sorry. But apparently in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, he is a saint. I don't know why he is a saint, but he is a saint. So perhaps after all of this, he repented and came to know the Lord. I would like to think so. That would be a great story. But I believe that if you and I sincerely pursue truth, we will eventually find Jesus. Just a side note about me. I don't know if I should share. I won't share too much. But I do like, you know, being entertained. So let me get the record straight. I like to be entertained first, information second, and watch these YouTube videos about truthers, you know. And they talk about all these interesting things. Aliens. We live in a dome. We never went to the moon. Etc., etc. Entertainment first, information second. It's just interesting things. In this is a whole movement, you know. You could just imagine the truthers out there. You don't have to raise your hand, but are there any truthers in here? Okay, no truthers. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to convert you or anything. But they're out there. They have their own niche. They have their own thing. And there are truthers who are not necessarily Christian, but they see a lot of the corruption in government and in other institutions that they lose hope, but even within the Truther movement, there's information that seems to validate the Bible. And as a Truther, since it's validating the Bible, they come closer and closer and closer to becoming Christian. Isn't that interesting? No? Yes? Just to let you know, the first Christians were probably Truthers. Right? That didn't go well. Because the official religious institution were saying the body of Jesus is stone. The official government were saying the body of Jesus is stone. They were colluding. They conspired to say Jesus' body is stone. And if you don't believe that, you're going to be thrown out of the synagogue. And then soon enough, if you don't believe that Jesus' body was stolen, not only are you going to be thrown out of the synagogues, we're going to start killing you, throwing you in prison. We're going to start blaming stuff on you. Wow, that was a rabbit trail. I didn't mean to go down that one. But I do believe that if people are in sincere quest to find truth, you will eventually find Jesus there. I personally am not offended or scared or, you know, intimidated by people who ask questions about Christianity. I love it. I love that you would ask questions about it. Ask all the questions you can about it. There's nothing to hide. If it is true, then we should ask questions. Because if it's not true, the Bible says, you are to be pitied among all peoples. Now, of course, that probably doesn't apply to American Christianity, I know. But those who are walking sincerely with Jesus, I do think it still applies. We are pretty privileged, wouldn't you say? We live in a time of history where we have access to seemingly unlimited amounts of information. You know, I have this in my pocket. 10 years ago, this supercomputer would have blown any computer out of the water. I have a supercomputer in my phone. You have questions, I have answers. I'll just Google it, YouTube it. We have so much access to information, to so much information, literally at our fingertips. My question is, what will you do with that privilege? What will you do with that power? But as much information that we have access to, as Christians, once we find Him, and once we begin to follow Him, it's not how much more can I know about it. That's great. Information is great, but that's not the goal. The goal is, do you hear His voice and do you follow Him? Will you hear the voice of truth and follow Jesus? Or like Pilate in this situation, falter under the weight and pressures of this world? What voice are you hearing today? Whose voice are you following now? Whose voice are you following now? Let us pray. As we close, I'd like to just give this moment, give you an opportunity to just quiet down, to be still, and to hear what God may want to say to you today. God is love. If what you're hearing is not loving, I would question the source of that voice. God is full of grace. If the voice you're hearing isn't full of grace, I would question where that voice is coming from. Even when he corrects us, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Father, I pray for anyone here who needs a word from you. I pray, Father, that you would speak to them crystal clear. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with hope, that you would increase hope, Lord, that you will speak truth into their life, into their situation. For those of us here today, Father, that needs encouragement, I pray, Father, you would send an encouraging word, not just to their mind, but deep down into their soul where they need it, Father. Father, I pray that we would hear your voice, know your will, and follow you wherever you go, whatever may come. I thank you, Father, for today. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.